How uncomfortable was that? I mean, just sitting there, did you start getting nervous? Were you thinking, did he forget what he was going to say? He's got his notes up there with him, right? Was it awkward? Were you like, I know some of y'all got little ones, where you're like, oh, please don't make any noise right now. It's really quiet in here. Did you get anxious? Did you get frustrated? Was there some of you that were like, I came to church and this is what we're going to do? We're going to sit in silence this whole time? That was 30 seconds. 30 seconds of waiting. And just in those 30 seconds, I know there are at least a couple of us who are like, that was an eternity. That was too long. Don't ever do that again. Because we don't like to wait, do we? I mean, no judgment. No judgment at all. This is a judge-free zone. How many of you want to open at least a present on Christmas Eve and not wait till Christmas Day? How many of y'all raise your hands high so we can, or maybe a little bit of judgment. All right, no, I'm just kidding. I'm the same way. Like, let's open, or at least do the stockings or something, right? How many of you, if you walk into the revenue office to get tags for your car, as soon as you see a crowd of people sitting in those chairs and you read, you take your number and you have number 75 and they're on number 3, how many of you are like, nope, and just walk out and raise your hand? Yeah, yeah. Didn't even hesitate, Mike. You shot that hand up real quick. Why? Because I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. We are a culture that just hates to wait. If something is taking too long, if it's, or longer at least than we think that it should take, man, that increases stress and anxiety. Our blood pressure rises, our heart rate increases. And it can be about some of the simplest things. I mean, you know, if we're waiting for big stuff, like we're waiting for a promotion, we're waiting to get doctor's results back, you know, that's excruciating enough. But even some of the simple things that we do on a daily basis, we can't stand to wait. There's been some studies done recently. This one study that came across, this is done last year, 2025. There was a group that studied like shoppers and people who go to restaurants and just kind of the tendency that they have, especially when it comes to waiting. Listen to this. Of this study, 84% of the people that were a part of this study said that they would choose another business entirely if they even anticipated that they were going to have to wait in line for a long period of time. Just, I'm not even going there. I might have to wait. And so if I might have to wait, I'm not even going. 84% of the people in this study. Can you believe that? Also, when faced with having to stand in a physical line, so go into a store and you got all your items, and then you walk up and you see the long line, just seeing that you're going to have to wait in line before you can check out, 39% of those shoppers said they would just leave their stuff and walk away. 39%. Why? Because I don't want to wait. There was another study that was done in 2022. And they surveyed and they and asked some people and kind of took some of the averages of what their answer was. They gave them different options of what their answers could be, and then they averaged those kind of things out. And here's what they found. People get frustrated, like start to become angry, maybe even start to curse, or at least just get just really frustrated if they have to wait 16 seconds for a web page to load. Now, some of you are like, 16 seconds, my web page is loaded like that. Anybody remember dial-up internet? Anybody remember that? Forget the web page itself. How long do we wait just to get on the internet, you know, not too long ago? 16 seconds and we're getting angry if the web page doesn't load. 25 seconds of waiting at a traffic signal. 25 seconds of waiting for that light to turn green. Some of y'all are nodding your heads. Yeah, that probably less. 25 seconds and we're already like, turn green. 20, we lose our temper after 20 seconds waiting for the ink to dry on a greeting card. 22 seconds if our streaming show doesn't start streaming immediately when we click on it. 18, we get angry after 18 seconds of trying to find a pen. Can't find my pen, and after 18 seconds, I'm just done. And I share those things with you because I want us to understand, We as a culture hate to wait. It's just something that we don't want to do. And especially with all of our technological advances now and all the modern conveniences that we have, we expect to get whatever it is that we want now. We expect that whatever it is that we want to happen now. It's not just something that can happen and that we really desire for it to happen. We expect it. It's almost as if it's our right. I have the right for things to happen quickly. I have the right to not wait. And while most of us would agree, I mean, if I said, do you agree that patience is a virtue? Most of us say, yes, patience is a virtue. And yet most of us, in some aspect of our lives, not maybe our whole lifestyle, but there's some aspect of our lives that we struggle with patience. You know the old saying, the prayer to God, Lord, grant me patience, but hurry. And that really is our attitude, right? Give it to me now. Patience is great, but I want the patience now. I want whatever it is I want right now. And the reality is that God sometimes causes us to have to wait. He puts a pause in our lives. He doesn't make things happen according to our schedule or according to our agenda. And the reason for that is because it's worth it. It's worth the wait. When God causes people to wait, it's always worth it. There's a reason behind it. There's some blessing that's going to come. There's something, some benefit that I'm going to receive because it's worth the wait. And as Brandon said this morning in our communion thoughts, that's what we're talking about today, and that's what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. This is what God does. This is who God is. I mean, look through Scripture. You find all sorts of examples of God either telling someone they had to wait or telling a group of people that they had to wait or just moving in his time and causing them to have to wait for him to do what it was that he was going to do. You go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. You got this guy, Abraham, his wife, Sarah. And Abraham ends up becoming the ancestor of the entire nation of Israel. But for the bulk of his life, Abraham and Sarah couldn't have kids. God comes to Abraham and says, I'm going to make you into a mighty nation. I'm going to give you more descendants than people can even count. Which means you're going to have kids start, right? And that's what he tells Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child. And I'm going to make you into a mighty nation. He told Abraham that when he was 75. You know when they had their first son? When Abraham was 100. 25 years of waiting for God to do what he said he's going to do. That's a long wait. One of Abraham's descendants, a kid named Joseph, God reveals to him that he's going to become a ruler, that people are going to bow down to him, that he's going to be in charge of nations. Reveal that to him when he was a teenager. Didn't happen for another 13 years. Matter of fact, during that time, he got sold into slavery by his family and got in prison for something that he didn't even do. That's a long time to wait. You fast forward a few hundred years, we read about a guy named David. We've talked about David multiple times in this church family. And David got told when he was a kid, he got anointed king. It wasn't just like, hey, you're going to be king someday. Like we might tell our kids that someday they're going to be president or something and we don't really know for sure. But David knew. He was anointed. You will be the next king over the nation of Israel. You know when he became the king over Israel? When he was 30. And up until that time, things didn't go well for David. He ended up becoming an outlaw in his own kingdom. The current king tried to kill him, tried to kill his family. He had to be on the run. People were constantly betraying him. It was an awful existence. It was a long time to wait. Even Jesus did, his disciples and different people in his life had to wait. There's a woman that Jesus healed of this awful, horrible bleeding condition. And Jesus healed her. She was miraculously healed, didn't have to deal with it anymore. But you know how long she had that condition? 12 years. Don't you think that for 12 years she was praying to God, God, please heal me. God, please take this away. I mean, Scripture even tells us she went to doctor after doctor after doctor, and things just got worse until she finally met Jesus and he healed her. That's a long time to wait. Jesus even told one time that one of his closest friends, a guy named Lazarus, is sick. Lazarus' family sends word to Jesus, please come so you can heal him, so he'll be well, so we don't have to deal with this. And Jesus intentionally stayed where he was for two more days. And Lazarus ended up dying. Now, the good part of the story is Jesus showed up and brought Lazarus back to life. But he waited. And I share those things with you. I mean, you can keep reading through Scripture. Time after time after time, people are wanting something to happen. They're wanting God to move. They're wanting God to take action. And God says, wait. Or God just kind of pauses for a minute. And people are left to kind of deal with that and deal with the waiting. And if you think about that, especially for us nowadays, for people who are so opposed to waiting, for it's something that we just hate to do, you would think that God would kind of pick up the pace a little bit, right? You would think that God would kind of be a little more quick to answer our prayers and do things for us, right? I mean, what good comes from God telling us that we have to wait? What good comes from God causing us to have to wait? When I pray about something and I don't get my answer immediately, or when I read about God's blessings in Scripture, or when I compare what's going on in my life to what's going on in somebody else's life, and I see how God seems to be blessing them, and I'm not getting the same blessings that he's blessing them with, and I'm having to wait to get what they got. When I'm wanting to know what I'm supposed to do in my life, what direction am I supposed to take? Who am I supposed to date? What kind of job am I supposed to get? Am I supposed to move to this city or that city? What am I supposed to do? And I'm asking God, and I'm praying to God, make it obvious, reveal it to me. And when the answer doesn't come immediately, how frustrating is that? Or those times when I'm stressed, when I'm overwhelmed, when I feel like things are just crashing down on me, and I want some relief. I want those things to go away. And God promises to be in it with me, but he doesn't always promise to relieve me of it. I gotta wait to get through on the other side of it. Why? Why is it that sometimes God says you need to wait? I don't know that I can fully, completely answer that, but I know some good things that come from the waiting. And that's what we're going to talk about again for the next couple of weeks. So there's some of this that we're going to dive into a little more deeply over the next couple of weeks. But I did want to give you just some things to think about and things to recognize that are good, that are beneficial when God calls me and causes me to wait. And one of those is that waiting can actually increase my awareness of God's presence. That when I get so focused on my schedule and my stress and my agenda and my plans and my perspectives, I can get so wrapped up in that I neglect to see what God is doing in my life until I think, oh, I need him. And maybe God has been there. Maybe God has even been doing some things in my life and moving in some powerful ways, and I just haven't seen it because I'm so wrapped up in my plans and my perspectives. And there are those times when I have to be still and wait for God to answer or God to move. It actually will help me see, oh, look what God has been doing. Look how God was already working and I wasn't paying attention to it. Back in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, we find out about God's people Israel being enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years, and God sets them free. And they're moving as quickly as they can to this land that God has promised to give to them. But the king of Egypt changes his mind and says, I want those slaves back. And so he sends his army after him to go recapture them. And the Israelites come to the shores of the Red Sea. And they got this army coming from behind. And they feel trapped. We can't go anywhere. We got Red Sea in front of us. We got army behind us. What are we going to do? We got to do something. Should we try to find another way around? Should we try to renegotiate with these guys that are going to come and attack us? What should we do? And they're panicking and they're distressed. What do we do? And God, through Moses, tells his people in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to what? Be still. Wait. Hold on. I've got this. And he did. God parts the Red Sea. The people walk across on dry ground. God caused the sea to collapse back on the army that was chasing them. They completely escape. Not only that, if you pay attention, God was there the whole time in the first place. The cloud that represented his presence was with them the whole time. As a matter of fact, it ended up moving behind Israel and coming between them and the army that was chasing after him so that that army couldn't catch up with them. God was there. He was a part of it. He was rescuing them. He was taking care of them. They just couldn't see it until they had to wait. And when they got still and they waited, they saw. Look what God's been doing. Look what God's plan has been. I see it now. You see, sometimes waiting is good for us because sometimes when we wait, we actually take the time to see God's presence, God's power that we weren't paying attention to before. Waiting is a good thing because waiting can also build my faith. When I have to wait for God to answer, when I have to wait for God to move or to reveal his purpose or to heal, whatever it is, it can and it should help my faith to grow. Now, I will acknowledge, sometimes when I allow it to, waiting can actually chisel away at my faith. Waiting can cause me to doubt. Waiting can cause me to question if God is really going to do what he says he's going to do. And I have to acknowledge that. I mean, going back to the Israelites, right? You know, they move from the Red Sea, they move into the wilderness, they come to this mountain, Mount Sinai, and God reveals his presence there, and Moses goes up on the mountain to talk with God and to get, you know, God's laws for his people and to establish his covenant. He's going to be their God, they're going to be his people. But while he's up there, while Moses is up there on the mountain, you know what the Israelites thought? This is taking too long. We don't like waiting. We don't even know what happened to that guy Moses. He may be dead up on the mountain for all we know. So let's pick another god. And they melted down a bunch of gold and they made a giant golden calf and started worshiping it. Why? Because they had to wait. So I will acknowledge sometimes if I let it, waiting will chisel away at my faith. But what it should do, if it's God calling me to wait, if it's God causing me to wait, it should increase my faith. When I hold on, when I trust, okay, God hasn't given me that answer yet. He hasn't revealed his purpose yet. He hasn't done what I believe that he's going to do, but I still believe he is. I'm going to wait and see. He's going to do something. Even if it's not what I want, I know he's going to do something. I'm going to wait for it. That is faith. That is growing faith. That is strengthening faith. There's another example of Jesus healing someone, actually the same, kind of in the middle of the same story as him healing the woman with the bleeding condition in Mark chapter 5. There's a guy named Jairus that comes to him who has a daughter who is sick at home, who is near death. And this guy comes to Jesus and he says, "Will you heal my daughter?" And Jesus had the power and the ability to just say, "Done, she's healed." He didn't even have to go to the guy's house. But he says, "Yeah, I'll go with you." And they start moving that direction. And in the process, they have to work their way through a crowd. This woman with a bleeding condition comes up, gets healed. Jesus starts having a conversation with her. And you can just imagine that Jairus is over on the side going, "Great, 12 years bleeding, better now. Awesome, but let's go. My daughter, remember Jesus?" You know he's just standing over there going. Until messengers come from his house. And say, "Don't bother Jesus anymore because your daughter has died. It took too long." Jesus says in Mark chapter 5, verse 36, overhearing them, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe. Hold on to your faith. I'm not done. Keep waiting because I'm about to do something." He goes to Jairus' house and he raises his little girl back to life. There are those moments. I say a moment. It may be an extended period of time. When I'm waiting, for God to do what I ask him to do, what I expect him to do, what I want him to do, or just to do something I'm not even expecting. Just show me. Just let it happen. And God says, I will. I will. Can you wait? Can you trust? Can you still trust in me? That even if this isn't happening according to your schedule, even if this isn't happening as fast as you want it to, can you still hold on to our relationship? Because that's what waiting can do. It can build my faith. It can strengthen it if I allow it to. Waiting can also help to shape me. Now, we're going to talk about this more next week, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here today. But in that time of waiting, in that time of looking for God's answer and looking for God's plan of action, God uses those times often to shape people, to mold them, to help them become whatever it is that he plans for their life, whoever it is that he has designed them to be. I mean, I keep going back to the Israelites coming out of Egypt, but y'all remember the guy that God sent to lead his people out of Egypt? A guy named Moses? We find out about him in the very first part of the book of Exodus. And Moses, God picked Moses. You are going to lead my people out of slavery. You're going, and God knew that from the beginning. When Moses was born, God knew, this is the guy. This is the guy that's going to lead my people out of slavery. You know what Moses was doing before he became the leader of the people of Israel? He was watching sheep. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. How long was he doing that? 40 years. 40 years. What do you think God was doing with Moses during that whole time? That he was watching a bunch of sheep. And he's watching a bunch of animals that can't fend for themselves. That make dumb decisions sometimes. That go wandering off in directions that they shouldn't. That need someone to protect them and lead them to places that are beneficial for them. What did Moses do for the people of Israel? Took them to places where they could find protection. Took care of them. Led them in the direction they should go. Steered them back when they were going off in a direction that they shouldn't. God used 40 years to shape Moses into the leader that he needed to be for the people of Israel. Because that's what God can do when we wait. Sometimes that's why God causes us to wait, so that he can mold us and shape us and make us into who we need to be. Waiting also requires me to surrender. If I'm going to choose to wait on God to do whatever it is that he has in mind to do, or to answer my prayer, to rescue me from whatever problem that it is that I'm struggling with, I have to be willing to surrender. And we talk about that sometimes, but, you know, submitting to God and surrendering our will and our plans to his. But folks, it's not enough. It's not enough to just surrender my plans to God. It's not enough to surrender to God's plan. I also have to be willing to surrender to God's timing. And that's important. Because sometimes I'll be convinced, okay, God's plan is better than mine. I'll do it. Let's go. Let's get started. And God's like, oh, hold on. Wait. If I'm going to completely surrender myself to God, I have to surrender not only to his plan, I have to surrender to his timing. That requires humility. That requires me letting go of control. Oh, and that's one of my favorite things to hold on to, is control. Let me dictate my schedule. Let me decide where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do and who I'm going to do those things with. I want to be in control of those things. I want to call the shots in my life. And I want to determine when those things happen. But waiting causes me, it requires me to surrender, not just to God's plan, but to God's timing. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet, hundreds of years before Jesus, in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah is talking. God is talking through Isaiah and talking to his people, and they're in this distressful time. Things are not going the way that they want them to go. There's trouble. There's problems. There's stress. And they're exhausted, they're drained from trying to fix those things and trying to figure out how to rescue themselves and trying to figure out how to take care of their own lives. And it's painful and it's hurtful. And like I said, it's overwhelming and exhausting. And here's what God says to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Doesn't that sound awesome? To not be drained, to have strength, to have energy, to have peace, to have joy, to not be worried, to not be stressed, to not be fearful, to not be in pain anymore. Doesn't that sound awesome? When does it happen? Those who do what? Wait. For the Lord. Wait for his timing. Surrender to his timing. Those who are willing to say, God, whatever your plan is and whenever your plan is, I'm in. That's where we find joy. That's where we find purpose. That's where we find fulfillment. When I choose to surrender. And here's the thing. If you missed everything else that I've said this morning, please hear this truth. The surrender is worth the wait. The surrender is worth the wait. When I quit trying to do everything on my own, when I quit trying to control my circumstances, when I quit trying to control you and try to get you to do the things the way that I want them done, and I just say, okay, God, it's your plan, it's your will, and I surrender to it, I am blessed by it. Things go better for me. But not just when I say, okay, whatever your plan is, I'll go that direction. But when I also say, God, whatever your time schedule is, I'll go along with that too. It's always worth it. God ends up blessing me, or God enables me to bless others when I choose to surrender to his timing. The surrender is worth the wait. I mentioned at the beginning about Abraham and Sarah. Right? 25 years waiting to have a kid. It was taking a long time. If you go back and look in the book of Genesis, Abraham was like, okay, this is taking too long. We're waiting too long. And so he says, I got this, you know, Abraham's kind of a wealthy man. He's like, I got this servant in my house. He's my number one servant. His name is Eliezer. You know what? He'll be my son. I will just say, Eliezer, you're now my son, and he will be the one that God can fulfill this promise through. And God's like, no, that's not what I had in mind. Fast forward a couple years. Sarah, still not able to produce a child for her husband, says, okay, I got this great idea. What you need to do is here's my personal handmaiden. Go have sex with her, get her pregnant, she'll have a son, and we'll just call that our son. And that would be the one that the nation of Israel comes from. Abraham's like, if you say so, okay. And he does. And God tells Abraham, it's not what I had in mind. It wasn't the plan. You need to wait. Until finally, after 25 years of waiting, they're given a son. Here's what it says in Genesis chapter 21, verse 2. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. Look at this. At the very time God promised him. It was God's plan, but it was also God's timing. And when Abraham and Sarah finally surrendered to that, look what happened. Now, am I saying that if you just wait long enough that God's going to answer all your prayers and do everything the way that you want him to? No, that's not the way that God works. But the truth is, sometimes I'm not paying attention to God's plan. I'm not seeing what he's doing in my life. I'm not trusting in him because I'm not willing to wait. And if I would just surrender to his timing, the surrender is worth it. God will do something with it. So, very quickly, how do I get better at surrendering to God's timing? How do I get better at that? I'll go through this fast. Already, here we go. First thing I got to do is got to make a decision to surrender. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't just happen. It is a conscious decision. I am choosing to surrender. And for those of us who want things now and we want immediate gratification, we get frustrated and angry when things don't happen according to our timing, that's frustrating. But here's what David says in Psalm 27, verse 14. And maybe David's talking to himself as much as he's talking to us. But he says, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord. Twice. What does David say? Wait. Make a choice to wait. Make a choice to surrender to God's timing and God's plan. Wait. It's going to be tough. Be strong. Hang in there. But wait. If I'm going to be more consistent at surrendering to God's timing, I got to make that choice. I got to choose to surrender. Number two, I got to keep surrendering. It's really easy for me to surrender control, or at least say that I do. I say, all right, God, it's your plan, it's your will, it's what you, whatever direction you want to go. And I say that, and I'm probably even sincere about that. And I might even surrender and like, oh, wow, look what God did. Awesome. Now I'm going to take control back again. Now it's going to be my schedule again. It's going to be my agenda. It's going to be my perspective. I'm going to make this stuff happen. Going back to David again, Psalm 40. David, as he's getting ready to talk about how he's in a frustrating place and he was crying out to God, he says this in Psalm 40 and verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and he heard my cry. I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, this psalm that David wrote was originally written in ancient Hebrew. If you go back to the ancient Hebrew language, David doesn't say, I waited patiently. The actual Hebrew wording there is kind of weird. Basically, David says, I waited waiting. David says, I was waiting. And while I was waiting, I waited. In other words, I kept on waiting. Or, another English translation of this verse says this, I waited and waited and waited for God. What is David saying? I'm crying out. I'm praying. I'm asking for God to do something. I'm watching for it. I'm surrendering to it. But I got to keep surrendering. I got to keep watching. I got to keep waiting. And it's not, and we'll talk more about this, but it's not about God being mean and going, I wonder how long he can wait. Let's just see. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has his timing. And David says, I got to wait for that. And I got to keep waiting. And I got to keep waiting and keep surrendering to that. And lastly, I need to actually watch for what God does. Watch for God's action. What is he going to do? And maybe it's not what I prayed for. Maybe it's not what I hoped for. Maybe it's not what I expected. But God's going to do something, and I need to watch for it. There's been multiple times in our office that Brandon, Don, and I have talked about the prophet Habakkuk. I mean, Brandon, you even had a class not too long ago about Habakkuk, right? It's one of my favorite prophets. I think it's probably one of Brandon's too. And the whole thing about Habakkuk is things are going bad for God's people. There's other nations that are coming in and attacking, and things are going awful, and God is actually seemingly blessing other nations and not blessing his own people. And so Habakkuk chapter 1, Habakkuk asks a question, how long, God? How long are you going to let this go on? And God's answer is, it's going to get worse. Well, that's not the answer that Habakkuk was looking for. And so Habakkuk doubles down. He says, but wait, you're supposed to be our God. You're supposed to take care of us. How long are you going to keep blessing these other nations and allowing them to be successful? And God says, it's going to be a while. But I'm going to set things right. You just need to wait. So Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 3 and verse 16, yet I will wait patiently. for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. And he goes on, as you continue through that chapter, he goes on and says, even if things are bad, even if the trees aren't budding and everything's falling apart, I'm going to wait. You know why? Because I know God's going to do something. And I just want to watch for it. So while we're waiting, let's watch. Let's watch for what God does. Let's open our eyes and pay attention and see God's plan of action. See what God actually does. Because the surrender to his timing is worth the wait. We have a lot more to say about this, and we're going to talk about it in the next couple of weeks. I just want to encourage you this morning. If you're in a time of waiting right now for God to answer, for God to reveal, for God to move, first of all, keep waiting. But second of all, keep watching. Watch for what God does, because it's going to be worth it. We're going to stand up here in just a second. We're going to sing a song together. We do this every Sunday. We offer the opportunity for people who need prayer, who need change in their lives, who want to give their lives to Jesus or give their lives back to Jesus. We stand up and we sing a song together. And it's just a time to try to make it convenient for anyone who's struggling, for anyone who's questioning or doubting, just needing prayer, needing strength, needing support, needing to reconnect with God again, just to walk to the front and say, this is what's on my heart. This is what I need right now. So we're going to do that here in just a second. And we always sing a song with that. And the song that we're going to sing this morning is, it's precious to me for a couple of reasons that I won't go into. But it just, it there are memories and people that come to mind every time that we sing this song. But I wanted us to sing it today as we wrap up talking about waiting. Because part of the message of this song is when it's dark, when the night is here, and I feel like the night is never going to end. I'm overwhelmed. I'm stressed. I'm hurting. In that moment, I can still hear my God say, I'm here, and I love you. And even the message of the song is not God's just going to fix everything. But God's going to be in the night with me if I wait patiently for him. So I hope that's what comes to mind as we sing this song together. And I hope that if God or his spirit has moved in your heart this morning to say, I need something different in my life, or I want some prayers because of something that's not happened in my life, you're welcome to come to the front and share that with us while together we stand and sing.